It's the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. We here at the Standard are taking special time to focus on the upcoming legislative session, and no doubt one issue lawmakers will have to face is COVID-19's impact on Texas's public schools. Much of that impact includes potential lost learning due to virtual schooling, but also school funding expected to become a flashpoint again. It's not clear whether the Texas Education Agency will reinstate a hold harmless guarantee last year that would have ensured adequate funding for schools despite seeing a dip in enrollment because of the pandemic. Joining us now, Democratic State Representative Diego Bernal, who's going to be dealing with these issues and more as vice chair of the House Public Education Committee. Representative, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Before we get too deeply into the issue of education in Texas, I want to ask you, especially given the events of Wednesday, how concerned you are about security and safety at the Texas Capitol as you and your colleagues prepare to return to session?
That's a good question. I don't want to be alarmist. I think that for the most part, it's a relatively safe environment. I guess safe means two things now. One is we're concerned about our safety because of COVID-19. And I think that I honestly believe that the Capitol could be taking greater measures to keep everyone involved safer than they are. But the other is that, while I think it's relatively safe, let's remember that the Texas Capitol is a place where people can bring firearms into it without really any sort of checking. I mean, as long as you can show I think that you're licensed to carry, you can bring your firearm in. And I think given the environment, I don't want to be alarmist, but I have to admit that given the environment, it makes me sort of uneasy that not just legislators and, of course, the incredible security team that we have at the Capitol, but that people off the street, people with agendas, people who viewed what happened very differently than I did, that they can just walk into the Capitol as we're about to get started. So I'm for the most part, I think it'll be okay, but I'd be lying to you if I said that I wasn't somewhat concerned about that.
Yeah. Well, of course, against that backdrop, you have quite a bit of heavy lifting to do. Let's begin with the guarantee that expired on January 1st. This is the hold harmless guarantee that the TEA extended to school districts. What happens with that? Are there plans to extend the guarantee? And is that something that the legislature would act on?
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that, because what TEA should do, and a lot of us on both sides of the aisle have written to TEA and said, you need to continue this hold harmless program because it's going to be financially devastating to districts right now, especially right after Christmas break and New Year's. You're going to see a tremendous drop and even fluctuation in attendance, and that's going to affect their funding tremendously, especially as you pointed out earlier, that this is a much more expensive and sort of unknown way of doing schooling right now, because some are virtual, some are in person. I think parents are going to be going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And so continuing hold harmless makes the most sense. But like my mom says, sometimes good things don't happen because they make so much sense. And so we'll have to see what happens. But TEA could fix it. They haven't yet, but we're hoping that they do.
Well, in the meantime, what should schools struggling with these attendance issues do? I mean, what are they to do, especially in this sort of policy vacuum?
Well, I think that one thing that we want schools to do, and have always wanted schools and school districts to do, is to get more involved in advocacy, right? So it's important that principals, teachers, superintendents reach out both to their representatives and their state senators, but also to TEA directly, saying, you need to understand what this looks like to us if we don't get it, if you don't do it. It's not just a sort of random amorphous policy. It has real consequences for people, real consequences for children. And if they paint that story, that narrative, the TEA, I think TEA will come around, but they've been resistant so far.
But this isn't the only issue facing Texas public schools. What are some of the other education issues you expect you'll be trying to tackle this session?
Well, I think we're in a strange place, right? Because of course, even with HB3, the big school finance bill last session, there's still so much work to do. That was a tremendous first step, but by no means an all-encompassing measure that corrects public education and the flaws that it still has. And at the same time, you've got this tremendous deficit we're going to be dealing with. And so you're pulled in two directions. One is you want to avoid cuts. Maintaining the status quo, I think, is a noble endeavor for us, but at the same time, one, we have a lot further to go, and two, even if you just kept things the way they are, that sort of ignores or is agnostic to the new sort of current COVID-19 caused expenses. And so I think we have to do both. I think we have to just buckle down and say, we're not going to cut public ed. We have to figure out how to shore them up, figure out how to give them more of what they need and really address what they deserve. And that might mean having tough conversations about revenue. But those conversations are ones we needed to have, whether there was a pandemic or not.
Representative Bernal, I want to ask you sort of in a larger sense.
Sure.
And maybe at a personal level, how sure. concerned are you about the loss of educational opportunity in the course of this pandemic? I mean, I think a lot of parents are worried that they are going to have, that their own kids will be graduating without the quality of education that they deserve because it's been so hard to maintain a standard of education with Zoom meetings and that sort of thing.
Well, I think it's a great question. As someone who's got a kid doing virtual preschool, I can tell you firsthand that while I admire the effort and I if I could give, you know, $40,000, $100,000 raises to her teacher, I would because she's a superhero. It's just not ideal. And so I am concerned about that. I want to give educators some grace because we've never done this before. There's no blueprint. I think everyone's doing the very best they can. So right. I don't fault people for any of it. I think everyone's trying to do the very best that they can. I want to make sure that that's clear. That being said, I think that we need a plan for recovery on top of maintaining the status quo. And that's why just saying no cuts isn't enough, because no cuts doesn't account for exactly what you're asking about, right? What you're asking about requires remediation. What you're asking about requires something accelerated. What you're asking about requires a doubling or tripling of effort and probably resources. And so the status quo ignores the reality that you just asked about. And so I think we need to give districts the flexibility to do more to catch up, but that also means that they need the resource. And I'm not saying I can hear my colleagues saying, you just want to write a bigger check. Well, I'm not saying that, but I am saying, let's figure out what strategies will work best for making up for lost time for the students that we can reach. And then let's do that. That's why it can't just be don't cut. It's don't cut and then do more. One, because they already deserved it before COVID. And two, because COVID demands that we do that. And the last thing I'll say is, I appreciate the investment we've made in public ed, but we cannot stand by and watch children continue to suffer and lose learning. We have to put our money where our mouth and our hearts are and get it done.
Democratic State Representative Diego Bernal is vice chair of the House Public Education Committee. Representative, thanks again for taking time to talk with us on The Standard.
No, thank you so much. And I really appreciate those thoughtful questions. It's actually giving me a lot to think about. So, thanks a lot and stay in touch.